Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Today, the focus of Route 51 returns to politics as we welcome for the next hour the two Republican candidates for the 7th Congressional District, the seat currently held by longtime Democratic Congressman Dave Obey, who announced his retirement earlier this year. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Joining us here in our studio in Wausau, Dan Mielke, a Portage County organic farmer who ran unsuccessfully against Mr. Obey 2 years ago in the 2008 election. And joining us from our Wisconsin Public Radio studio in Superior, Sean Duffy, the former Ashland County District Attorney, who is the endorsed candidate of the Republican Party. Mr. Duffy and Mr. Mielke face each other in the Republican primary on September 14th. The winner will face either Democratic State Senator Julie Lassa of Stevens Point or businessman Don Riella of Superior. Now, we will be taking phone calls from you, our listeners, in the second half of this forum, but we want to start out by examining and contrasting the positions of the two candidates and clearing up some of the charges and countercharges that have been made in the campaign. And Dan Mielke, thanks for joining us. And Sean Duffy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
The two of you squared off in a debate last night in our Wisconsin Public Radio studio in Superior. How do you think it went, and what differences do you think the debate brought out between the two of you? Sean, we'll start with you.
First off, Glenn, thanks for having me on. Dan, it's great to be here with you. Yeah, we had a nice, lively discussion last night. And, you know, one of the issues that we talked about was, you know, the debt and deficits and how much we cut back and what we can cut back to start to balance our budget. And Dan and I had a disagreement as to, you know, what my plan is, which is I think we have to, you know, look at, you know, cutting back the non-discretionary or the discretionary spending here in the state or in the federal government. And Dan wanted to cut the budget in half. And I think when you look at that, the numbers just don't work to make that happen. I think that was one of the big discrepancies the two of us had during our debate last night.
Dan Mielke?
Well, I would say that was one of the discussions that, you know, where we had a difference in regards to he wanted to go with the 2008 spending freeze that George Bush had, which was one of the highest rises in spending that we had in any time in the history since 1940. And I'd rather go back and base it more on the standard, comparing it with the cost of living increases and the situation with the gross national product and raise it at that level. And so that's where we differ. He likes to say, I just want to cut the budget in half, but that's not exactly true.
Sean, you've been endorsed by the Republican Party. You've got a big advantage in terms of money on hand. You also picked up the endorsement of the Wausau Daily Herald for the primary election today. Is it safe to say that you're in the driver's seat going into the primary?
Well, no, the voters are in the driver's seat, Glenn, and it's one of these campaigns where we have had so much grassroots support. People have been excited about a campaign that, first off, was going up against Congressman Dave Obey. We've had to date 4,700 contributions that are $100 or less. People are excited about a new direction in Washington, and it's my message and my vision that people have gotten excited about. And with that, we've seen a lot of excitement for this new direction, and I think when we sat down with the Wausau Herald editorial board, I sat down with him for an hour. Dan had a chance to speak with him for an hour, and when they came out, they thought I was a better candidate. So I'm honored to have their endorsement.
Dan, was that endorsement a disappointment to you?
Well, the whole entire endorsement process is something that I don't agree with. I believe that it should be left up to the voters to decide in a primary. When a Republican Party or a Democrat Party tends to hand feed us the candidates of their choice, that takes away the right for the American people to make that choice. So, yeah, I was a little discouraged with it, especially since Sean and I both agreed we were not going to go for that endorsement. And then at the 7th District Caucus, Sean went ahead and accepted it anyway.
Now, if you win on Tuesday, Dan Mielke, it will be viewed as a big upset. What's your strategy?
My strategy is to tell the truth, stand firm on my convictions, not waver, and represent the people, not the party.
What's your biggest issue, Dan?
Trying to break that stranglehold that parties have in regards to candidates having an independent thought and thinking. I think one of the biggest problems we have in government right now is that Washington is leading the directions for how candidates run, what they run for, what they stand for, and they're also directing Congress. And I think we have to break that. If we're going to have representation, we need to have those congressmen answer to the people and not to the leadership.
Sean Duffy, your biggest issue going into the final days of this campaign?
It's consistent with our message for the last 14 months. I'm talking about a $13.3 trillion debt, a debt that you break down, it's $43,000 for every man, woman, and child in this country. You know, for my little Maria Victoria, who was born 5 months ago, she's going to inherit $43,000 of national debt. We're talking about job creation. How do we actually, you know, put Americans back to work and Wisconsinites back to work, and how we take this uncertainty out of the marketplace and let our job creators do what they do best, which is create jobs and expand and grow their businesses. And I think it's that message and those concerns that the voters here in Wisconsin have that have given us so much traction.
We intend to spend the vast majority of this hour on economic issues, but I want to spend a couple of minutes here on social issues first. Sean, you've been endorsed by Wisconsin Right to Life, or Right to Life Wisconsin, an endorsement, Dan, that you thought you deserved. If the two of you could comment on that.
Well, this is Sean, and you know, Dan and I both applied for that endorsement, and I received it, and I'm proud to have the endorsement of Wisconsin Right to Life. I'm 100% pro-life, and for me, it's an honor.
And I was a little surprised that Wisconsin Right to Life actually got involved in politics in regards to endorsing one candidate over another that are pro-life, giving the impression that one is not. But I'm thrilled that Wisconsin Pro-Life Wisconsin has me on their endorsement page, and I'm the only candidate for the 7th District on that one. I think that the problem we have is, even within realms like such as that, people tend to vote based on what they think is the best agenda for getting where they want to go. And I think Wisconsin Right to Life chose to delve into an area where they're taking a little less than a strong conservative stance to get somewhere. Dave Westlake was 100% pro-life, but they so chose to endorse Ron Johnson, which shows a weakening on their part that I don't agree with.
You both say
And Glenn, if I could just quickly comment on that with regard to the pro-life Wisconsin endorsement, I didn't have time to send in a questionnaire, so I didn't even submit my questionnaire. Dan did get their acknowledgement on the website, but the only endorsement that we both applied for was Wisconsin Right to Life, and we got that, and I'm proud of it.
I never filled out an endorsement for Wisconsin Right to Life. I filled it out with the National Wisconsin Right to Life.
Let's see if there are any substantive differences between the two of you. You both say you're 100% pro-life. Does that mean you believe that abortion should be banned, even in the cases of rape and incest? Dan Mielke, you go first.
Yes, I do. I believe it is an atrocity that needs to stop in the United States. I'm opposed to it for all reasons. I was supposed to be the results of an abortion for the right to, for the life of the mother. So I'm a little prejudiced on this one, and rightfully so. I also believe that it is our job as a congressman to fight to try to stop that.
So we're clear here, Dan. If a woman is raped, you would force her to bear the child of her rapist?
No. If a woman is raped and she's pregnant, she has a child, and that child has a right to life. The idea of forcing or not forcing is not the issue. The issue is, do we have a right to take the life of a person? And I believe we don't.
Sean Duffy, same thing. Do you believe that abortion should be banned even in the cases of rape and incest?
Listen, I believe that life begins at conception. In regard to the issues that you bring up, I think there's a lot of nonviolent choices that we have to make available to women. And those choices, I think, are a better option.
But ultimately,
one of those are adoption.
But if a woman is raped and she does not want that child, she wants an abortion, you would force her to bear the child of her rapist.
And I have to tell you that is an incredibly difficult situation. I can't imagine my child or my wife or my mother being in that situation. But the bottom line is, I believe that life begins at conception, and to start to pare down examples where we choose to say that life begins somewhere else, for me, is unacceptable. Life is at conception.
And actually, I believe that the trauma of the rape is a tragedy, but the trauma even would be even worse if later on she chose and made that decision, and later on chose to change that view. The tragedy of taking another life would also be a very difficult one for that person to bear.
I want to talk about gay marriage just for a minute. We have a situation where a number of prominent Republicans have come out in favor of opening the party to those who favor gay marriage. Ken Mellman, the former party chairman. We have Steve Schmidt, who ran the McCain campaign, and John McCain's daughter, Meghan McCain, all saying the Republican Party should open its doors to people who are openly gay and even embrace the concept of gay marriage. Now, Dan, you made an issue of a film that Sean appeared in back when he was an MTV reality star, The Wedding Video. Why do you think something he did 10 years ago should matter today?
Well, I guess, you know, I hold as a minister and as a Christian, I hold a view that homosexuality is not something that should be condoned or endorsed, and it definitely should not be something to be forced on the American people to partake in, whether it be with tax revenue or whatever. So I believe that's an issue that should not be dealt with by Congress, and it shouldn't be there, and it shouldn't be allowed from a congressional standpoint. The fact that Sean was involved in a movie in 2000 that came out in 2003 that promoted the concept of homosexual marriage and to actually try to generate sympathy for that gave me concern, because that's contrary to where I would stand. And so I felt that's an issue where we do differ, and that I have a major concern over.
Sean, do you think it's fair that he's holding up this film you did several years ago?
In politics, you can say anything you want. And for me, I think it's important to be truthful with the voters. And it was a movie that came out in 2003. But it's to be clear, it was a movie that I did in 1999, nearly 11 or over 11 years ago. And you know what? I regret my participation. It's a movie that doesn't and is not consistent with my values. I was someone with my wife who supported the 2006 marriage amendment. I believe that marriage is between one man and one woman. And I talk about this every day because people ask me, and I have no problem setting forth my position and going to Washington, D.C. I look forward to going there to defend the Defense of Marriage Act, which also states that there's marriages between one man and one woman. But, you know, I think it's important, Glenn, when we look at how candidates run their races, you gotta say, what kind of race are they running? What kind of issues are they bringing up? And, you know, Dan and I both know there's issues in his past that I've just chosen not to bring up. I don't think they're relevant to the concerns that voters have today. I mean, families are losing their jobs. They're concerned about their retirement. They're concerned about the next generation. And those are really the issues that matter to Wisconsin voters. And that's why I've been talking to them. So in regard to Dan's past and things that he's written, I've chosen not to bring them up because I think I get more respect from the voters when I behave in a way that is
consistent. Can you be specific? What do you mean, things in his past?
Well, I'm not gonna bring those up, Glenn.
You just
Dan
brought
they
them
are,
up.
But I'm not. Well, but I'm not gonna talk about them.
Usually, it's other people do that for him.
Well, let me talk again about the issue of gay marriage, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. But Sean, I did see that film, and I thought you were right. It was embarrassing. It was trashy and vulgar. But one thing that apparently came out, or at least it did to me, is that you and your wife appeared to have a great deal of tolerance for gay people. Now, I know gay couples, men and women in central Wisconsin, who are hardworking professional people. They serve on boards of directors. They pay their taxes. They volunteer in their communities. Some of them living together in committed, loving relationships for more than 10 years and wanting only to be treated like everyone else and to have the same civil rights everyone else has and to be able to express that lifelong love for each other by getting married. What's wrong with that?
Listen, there's a great institution of marriage, and it's existed for, you know, thousands of years. And for me, I believe that that relationship should have a prominence in our community, and it's with one man and one woman. Now, if folks are living together or they're using agreements that are available to everyone else for inheritance or seeing each other in the hospital, that's fine. But I also look at this, Glenn, and I go, I'm not hateful in the way I present this information. I tell you what my view is. I believe in marriage between one man and one woman, but also So there's you know, sometimes when Dan talks about this, it comes across in a really hateful way. And I don't believe in that. I think we can disagree with people, but not be so disagreeable and so hateful about it. And that's the way I approach it. These are my beliefs. As a father of six and being married for over 10 years, I understand the institution of marriage and I want to support it and I want to defend it. But that doesn't mean I have to be, you know, hateful about it.
Steve,
my approach here.
Steve Schmidt, who ran John McCain's national campaign, this is a direct quote from him, "There is a strong conservative case to be made in favor of gay marriage. Marriage is an institution that strengthens and stabilizes society." And he says that more and more conservatives are saying that opposition to gay marriage should not be a litmus test for membership in the GOP. And indeed, if you believe in limited government, the government shouldn't be deciding who can get married and who shouldn't.
Government shouldn't be involved in heterosexual marriages either. They've destroyed a lot of that in today's age by loosening the realms in regards to divorce and making things easier for people to not be married. That's one of the problems I have. I believe that that's actually an issue that should not be involved in government. We shouldn't be dealing with that. That should be left up to the church, to God, and to the people.
And Dan Mielke, I'd like you to respond to what Sean just said. Is the way you oppose homosexuality hateful.
No.
Saying that there's something about it that's an abomination.
No, I have no hate towards those people who have chosen that lifestyle. I just, as a Christian, cannot condone it. And I do not believe it's beneficial to society. And I do not believe it's beneficial even to them to get involved in a marriage-type contract situation. I'm opposed to homosexuality. But I also understand that there are people that differ from me, and I will fight for people's right to differ. What I don't like is when the government gets involved in forcing me to partake in your actions that I don't agree with, or forcing you to partake in my actions that you don't agree with. That should be left up to the American people, and it should be left up to the families and the churches that they are part of. We talk about separation of church and state. We talk about separation, you know, and having the freedom to do the things we want. And then we want to get involved in regulating and controlling everybody's aspect of that. And I believe that's wrong. So it's a situation I don't want to be a part in funding that, just like I don't want to be a part in funding abortion. But in the same line, I don't know why they would want to be a part of having government control and regulate what they're doing either.
Couple of quick other issues, and then I want to just focus on the economy for the rest of this discussion. The plans to burn Qurans in Florida and what appears to be an increasing climate of hatred directed at patriotic American Muslims. Sean Duffy, your reaction to that?
Well, I think we just heard that the Quran burning is not going to take place, thank goodness. But I think if you look at what's happening with the Quran burning, I think it's disrespectful. But I also think it's an offshoot of 9/11, and it's an offshoot of the mosque being built near Ground Zero. And with that, I think it's insensitive that a mosque being built, you know, only a few blocks away from that hallowed ground at Ground Zero. And I think we all have to be respectful of the thoughts and beliefs that each other have.
The mosque is a couple of blocks away. You can't even see it. And it's not primarily a mosque. It's a community center.
Well, we can disagree on that, that Glenn. I guess I think that's too close for comfort for me. But it's also a situation where I don't have any control over, but you're asking us to comment on it. And,
okay.
And I think if we want folks to be tolerant and respectful, it has to go both ways. You can't sit there and say, you know, listen, tolerance goes only in one direction. It's a two-way street. And I think as we sit on the outside and look at the mosque and the Quran burning, we have to go, listen, both of these things are insensitive. And people, you know, have to bring some common sense, maybe a little good Wisconsin and common sense as they approach these issues.
We're going to take Dan, I want you to comment very quickly.
My major concern was what it would have endangered the troops. You know, I have a real concern about when we do stuff at home that's going to actually put our troops in danger and jeopardize American soldiers that are over there that would get the reaction to that if that did happen. On the other hand, I also have to understand that we have to be careful that we don't infringe on people's freedoms, but those people should use those freedoms wisely.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back with Sean Duffy and Dan Mielke to talk about the economy for the rest of the hour. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We have Sean Duffy and Dan Mielke, the two candidates who are vying for the Republican nomination for the 7th Congressional District seat. In the second half of the show, we will be taking calls from you, our listeners. If you would like to call in and comment, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. And Sean and Dan, if either of you are elected in November, you'll have to deal with an agenda set by a Democratic President, Barack Obama, who is working hard to ensure that this district stays in the Democratic fold. He campaigned in Milwaukee on Labor Day and told the labor crowd why he thinks voters should reject Republicans. I'm going to play a short 45-second clip and then have the two of you respond to it.
You know, that's why we passed financial reform, to provide new accountability and tough oversight of Wall Street, stopping credit card companies from gouging you with hidden fees and unfair rate hikes, ending taxpayer bailouts for Wall Street once and for all. They're not happy with it, but it was the right thing to do. That's why we eliminated tens of billions of dollars in wasteful taxpayer subsidies, handouts, to the big banks that were providing student loans. We took that money, tens of billions of dollars, and we're going to go to make sure that your kids and your grandkids can get student loans and grants at a cheap rate and afford a college education. They're not happy with it, but it was the right thing to do. That's why we passed health insurance reform, to make coverage affordable. Reform that ends the indignity of insurance companies jacking up your premiums at will, denying you coverage just because you get sick. And if everybody is still talking about privatizing Social Security, they need to be clear, it will not happen on my watch, not when I'm President of the United States of America.
It's Barack Obama talking at a Labor Day rally in Milwaukee, and I want to take that last point. Do either of you favor privatizing Social Security? Sean Duffy, we'll let you go first.
Absolutely not. If you look at Social Security, do I want to see folks who are getting Social Security through their checks go open up an E-Trade account and go trade it on Wall Street? Absolutely not. I think this is an important program that our seniors rely on and those who are about to retire are relying on. We have to make sure we shore it up. But if we do nothing, Glenn, this program's in jeopardy in the not-too-distant future. If we do nothing, there's a projected 22% cut in Social Security benefits. And when you break that down, an average recipient receives about $13,800 a year. If you have a 22% cut, that's taking about $3,000 away from that pot of money that is barely enough to survive on.
So what,
we have to reform the system, Glenn.
And how do you do that?
By privatizing, I don't think is the answer. Well, there's a number of programs that have been put out there, but right now I know the Debt Commission is, I believe, going to consider it, and I want to hear what they have to say for solutions. But this is not an easy problem to deal with. We've been dealing with it and grappling with it for years. And I want to look at the programs that are going to be put on the table and say, you know, how can we shore it up to guarantee that our seniors have their Social Security? My aunts, my uncles, my mothers and fathers-in-law, they all have Social Security and they can't eat without them. So I'm going to go.
You're not in favor
them.
Of privatization. Dan Mielke?
No, I'm not in favor of privatization. I'm not in favor of cutting on our seniors. I have a real struggle with the fact that every time we have a financial crisis, we want to jump at the people that need the money the most and say, oh, this is going to hurt them. Why don't we start getting Congress to clean up their act and their heavy spending and their bailouts and their stimuluses and their high wages and their high insurance and the federal wages that are much higher than what the average person out there. Those are areas we need to seek and cut first before we even start to look at trying to cut on the elderly. Sadly, there are some in my party that do tend to hold to that, and at one point Sean did back that, and now he has switched on that since earlier this spring when he was at the University of Stevens Point.
Sean Duffy, have you changed your position? You've only got 15 seconds here before our news break.
Absolutely not, and I guess I'd like to hear Dan name someone in the Republican Party who is talking about cutting seniors' care. It doesn't exist. He's referring
raising the age to 70.
Absolutely not. A comment that I made that I think Paul Ryan's plan was a good starting point because he's I commend him. He's putting this idea out there, and Dan's putting his head in the sand to say, I don't want to deal with this.
We've got to hold it at that 1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to join the conversation. I'm Glenn Moberg. We'll be back with Sean Duffy and Dan Mielke right after this news. We're back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. I'm Glenn Moberg and our very special guests. Just a few days before the September 14th primary, the two Republican candidates for the 7th Congressional District seat, Sean Duffy, former Ashland County District Attorney, and Dan Mielke, an organic farmer, vying for the seat that is currently held by Dave Obie, retiring after more than 40 years in Congress. We're taking your phone calls this second half hour of the show, 1-800-780-9742. And as much as possible, I would like to focus on the economy. Gentlemen, I want to play one more clip from Barack Obama at that rally in Milwaukee. Get the two of you to respond to it. As he says, Republicans like you can't be trusted with the economy.
These are the folks whose policies helped devastate our middle class. They drove our economy into a ditch. And we got in there and put on our boots and we pushed and we shoved and we were sweating and these guys were standing watching us and sipping on a Slurpee. And they were pointing at us saying, how come you're not pushing harder? How come you're not pushing faster? And then when we finally got the car up, and it's got a few dings and a few dents, it's got some mud on it, we're going to have to do some work on it, they point at everybody and say, look what these guys did to your car after we got it out of the ditch. And then they got the nerve to ask for the keys back. I don't want to give them the keys back. They don't know how to drive.
Sean Duffy, you can't get the keys back because you don't know how to drive, and you were sitting there sipping on a Slurpee while Barack Obama and the Democrats were pulling the car out of the ditch. Your reaction?
Kind of funny, but I think truth has to cut through here. You know, when President Obama initiated his $1 trillion stimulus package with Congressman Dave Obey, they told us what this bill was going to do for us. They said it was going to create 3 million jobs. And since it's passed, we've lost 3 million jobs. They told us that we wouldn't have unemployment that goes above 8%. We all know that it's been to 10%. Right now it's at 9.6%. These programs haven't worked to turn this economy around. And, you know, I think when you look at an economy, we can't have a free market system that comes down and then we turn to European-style socialism to bring it back up. It doesn't work. Free markets do work. We have to get rid of the excesses. And when that happens, we can turn the corner. But because of all the programs that have been implemented in Washington, D.C., if you talk to our small business owners, they say there's too much uncertainty in the market. I don't know what government is going to do. And because of that governmental uncertainty, that political uncertainty, people aren't investing in their businesses. They're not creating new jobs. And that's rippling through the economy. And I think the administration has more to do with this lack of recovery than the free market.
Dan Milkey?
You know, it sounds like an Adam and Eve story. Eve blames Adam for the fruit. Adam blames Eve. They're both wrong. Both the Republican Party and the Democrat Party have failed in representing the American people and holding on to the economy. George Bush, in his 8 years was in office, was one of the highest spenders that there was. And a lot of the things that happened to our economy is because of what George Bush did, as well as Obama and the Democrats. I think both are guilty. Both need to change. We need to make something different. We cannot continue doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Our economy will not change until government gets out of the way and makes it compatible and easy for business to exist and work in this country and not be shipped overseas. And they're both guilty, and they both need to correct it. Blaming one another does no good at all. Let's get the job done.
Congressional Budget Office. Go on, Sean.
Well, this isn't a conversation about blaming. This is a conversation about ideas that get us back on track. And I think we can even go back to this finance reform bill that just recently passed. I mean, this is a bill where we needed to reform Wall Street.
And we need to do it by not following the same patterns and the same excuses and the same methods that have been going on for the last 40 years. The Republicans run on their realm. The Democrats run on theirs. We need new ideas. We need new concepts. And we need to do this. And when we just reiterate whatever Washington tells us to say when we're running for office, because that's the proper thing to get elected, we have problems, and that's why I have a problem with what's going on.
And we have to talk about ideas, Dan. And,
that's
and
right.
What I'm talking about is in this finance reform bill, what most of us would agree happened in this downturn is we had a housing bubble that was directly related to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And when this bill passed, it didn't address Freddie Mae and Fannie Mac at all. And if you talk to our community bankers in Wisconsin who had nothing to do with what was happening on Wall Street, if you ask them if this bill, this finance reform bill, has an impact on them, they will tell you absolutely. There's more regulation. It makes it more difficult for them to lend to small businesses and to families because of the layers of regulation that have been added on because of that bill. We have to be smart with our regulation. We just can't overregulate. And so when President Obama comes out and talks about his accomplishments, we have to look at what negative downside his bills, massive bills, and this bill was 2,300 pages long.
Let's
impacts do that have on our economy?
Let's let Dan Milkey get a word in here.
I appreciate that. You know, the situation is, we can go on and on and on and talk about what was this and they did this and they did that. Sean just started doing it again with the idea of Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. The problem is Congress. Congress is allowing this stuff to happen. Congress has the responsibility and to actually control what's happening in government, and they're not doing their job. They're listening to lobbyists and special interest groups. We're losing jobs. We're losing our ability to finance the situations we have. It's far greater than just Freddie Mae and Fannie Mac. It's Congress, and they need to start looking at themselves and cleaning the problem up.
We have a caller who wants to know which of you has Sarah Palin's endorsement. Which of you has Sarah Palin?
Can I interject, though, Glenn? We sit and talk about Congress, and Congress is so bad. Well, Dan's running to be a congressman, and you can throw bombs at answers, but I don't hear any responses to how we fix problems. He is going, well, it's Congress and it's Republicans and Democrats. Well, okay, well, what are your solutions then?
Well, one of those solutions is trying to keep one more lawyer from going to Washington. And the second solution is, that's one of those bombs, Sean. The second thing we need to do is we need to start getting congressmen to start listening to the people and looking at their needs rather than what they want to do to get elected. We need to stop the earmarks. We need to stop the stimulus. We need to stop the spending. And we need to start focusing on creating an environment that's friendly for workers and employers so that they can bring businesses back here. We sit here and we play this rhetoric game back and forth constantly while our industry and our business and our jobs are going overseas and illegal immigrants are coming across the border. We need to start doing something instead of just jabbering in Congress.
1-800-780-9742. Let's go to John in Stevens Point. John, you're on Route 51 with Sean Duffy and Dan Mielke. Hello, John.
Hi. I was just wondering, I saw Scott Walker's made a big deal lately about giving his pay back, and I was just wondering what, you know, you guys, how Sean felt about that. He likes to savage government employment a lot, and I was wondering if he ever gave his pay back. District attorney pay is public record, and it's well above the median income of the congressional district. Thanks. I'll take my answer off the air.
All right. Sean Duffy, have you ever given your payback?
No. Thanks, John, for the question. And to sit and say that I'm savaging public employees, I'm not. But what I think this comes back to is, you know, Julie Lassa came out with a plan saying we need to, you know, cut the pay of Congress by 10%. Great idea. But as a state senator, she never put forward a bill to cut her own pay by 10%, and she says that they shouldn't take pay raises until the unemployment rate goes down. Great idea, but she just took a pay raise last year. So I mean, I think there has to be some accountability with the proposals that we put forward.
Here we go, back and forth. Judy Lassa, Sean Duffy. It's her fault. It's his fault. What we need to do is install some laws that put federal pay levels comparable to what's going on in the private sector. We cannot continue to favor the federal employees while the American people that are paying those wages are suffering. And there's a problem with that, and we need to balance that out. We should have, they should have the same insurance processes that we have. They should have the same Social Security that we have. We have a problem when they have a special treatment over the American people, and I believe that's wrong. It's not according to the Constitution. It's not equitable. We need to start getting everybody in the same playing field.
1-800-780-9742. Let's go back to the phones. Martin on Highway 51 near Portage. Hello, Martin. You're on Route 51.
Yes.
Hello. Literally.
Yes. Well, now I'm on Highway 33, but close enough. Quick question. I know this is related to the economy. Due to personal experience, I know that the illegal immigrant situation is a pronounced economic drain and burden on this country. And I'm wondering, for both of the candidates here, what do they see as being a solution to the problem?
We're spending close to $348 billion a year on illegal immigrants, and we're having a hard time taking care of our elderly and our seniors. That's got to stop. Sean talks about a wall. I understand that there needs to be some border control, but I don't believe we're going to stop illegal immigration by trying to wall them out. We have to turn around and take away that carrot at the end of the stick. We have to make sure that illegal immigrants don't benefit from coming to America. They need to come through the proper channels. And the only way to do that is to start enforcing our laws, give them a window of opportunity to go home, and then crack down and crack down hard. And that does not require us shipping them home. It requires them to get in their brand new trucks that they have and drive home. And then they can turn around and apply to come back if they don't get caught on the way. But if they've been in this country and they're here illegally, they need to go home. If we catch them, they should never be allowed in this country again because we have laws and guidelines, and we need to get the American people back to work, and we should not be suppressing their wages by having people coming across the border illegally.
Sean Duffy, your view on illegal immigration.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Martin. This is one area that Dan and I disagree with on considerably. For me, I do believe we need to build a wall. I do believe we need to use our technology to police that wall to make sure that folks don't come across illegally. And those who are here to work, I think we have a financial disincentive for employers to hire them, so they will go back home. But I think what Dan doesn't understand about the border is people aren't just coming across the border to work. There's people coming across the border to sell drugs. There's a human trafficking trade that's going on. But also, I'm concerned about if terrorists come into this country or if dirty bombs come into this country, it's going to come across that southern border. And so while I believe we need to build a wall, Dan believes we should keep it open. And for me, I just think that's absolutely wrong. Well, let's build a wall. Let's protect our southern border. And let's have a complete knowledge of who's coming into the country.
How do the two of you feel about the Arizona immigration law? Is it usurping federal authority? Should the Obama administration be challenging
it? First of all, I'd like to deal with what he just said. building a fence across the Mexican border, while it is necessary, is not going to keep terrorists out of this nation. You know, they have airplanes, they have helicopters, they have other borders. We have borders all the way around this nation. To think that somehow we're going to block out terrorists and drug dealers because we fence off the Mexican border, to me, is foolish. We have to do more than that. We have to do something about stopping them from coming in on any border. As far as the Arizona, I'm proud of them for doing what they did, and they need to take that stand. And the federal government failed to do what they were supposed to do, and Arizona took it upon themselves. The federal government needs to get involved and take care of the job that they're set to do.
Sean Duffy, comment on the Arizona immigration law. Should they have been allowed to do it?
I'm happy that Dan has now changed his position, because when we were on WWIB, he indicated that he was opposed to building a wall. And can you
never
keep everyone
that,
out?
Sean.
Not necessarily, but can you keep a majority of them out? Yes. And is it easier to protect the southern border if there's a wall? Absolutely. I look at Arizona. They're trying to protect themselves. They've enacted a law because Congress has failed to act. And had Congress acted, Arizona wouldn't be forced to try to protect itself by passing this current law.
I never said a wall wasn't there. I just said it's not going to do the job. The first thing we have to do is take away the incentive, Sean.
A caller wants me to ask the two of you, which of you has Sarah Palin's endorsement, and is that significant? And Sean, I believe it's you who has the endorsement.
You know, I've got a lot of endorsements from a wide range of people. Sarah's one of them. There's a lot of other folks who have endorsed me through the course of my campaign. Many of them disagree on a lot of different issues, but the bottom line is people are endorsing my candidacy and what I stand for and what I'm running on, and I'm proud to have all of the endorsements that we received.
Dan Mielke, do you wish you'd had Sarah Palin's endorsement?
Well, it would be nice to have her endorsement, but not if there's strings attached. One of the things that I have a real problem with is when you start accepting that money and you start accepting those endorsements, you're making agreements. Sean tries to pretend he does not, but when Newt Gingrich came out and supported him, Newt Gingrich was backing him because Newt Gingrich agreed with him, and that means Sean's agreeing with Newt. And he can argue about that differently, but, you know, it's a situation you have to be careful that if you're going to ride and try to ride the wave and win based on other people, then what's going to happen when you get to Congress? You're going to ride that wave on other people there, too. It's time that we take a stand for what we believe in, let people vote on that, not based on who we rub shoulders with.
Do you...
But Glenn, I think the people don't vote on endorsements. They vote on ideas, and I put my ideas out there, and people have been excited about those ideas. And when Dan's unable to get support, I mean, he gets frustrated, and I understand that. But I had a chance to go talk to the Republican Party when I got in this race, and for the most part, I was laughed at, saying, "Yeah, you're going to go run against Dave Obey. Good luck, son." And I went out. I worked hard. I talked about my message and my vision and why I can win. And as I did that, people started to pay attention. They got excited, and people around Wisconsin started to help me out. And we have just an overwhelming amount of grassroots support, and that's where this campaign is focused, is on the grassroots need for change in Wisconsin.
Sean, let's talk about ideas specifically. You did bring Newt Gingrich into Wausau. He's well known as a free trader. Are you a free trader as well?
Yeah, I believe in free but fair trade. You know, in America, we sell a lot of products overseas, and we import a lot of products as well. I believe American companies can compete with anyone in the world, China, India, Mexico, Vietnam. We can compete if we don't tie the hands and the feet behind our businessmen. We got to set them free, and I think we can't overtax, over-mandate, and over-regulate.
Some people would say that's an oxymoron. You're contradicting yourself by saying you're in favor of both free and fair trade. They're two opposing concepts.
They are.
No, they're not. They're not, Glenn.
The way a lot of people define them, they are. Fair trade, they would say, is when you force countries overseas that are trading with us to meet our environmental standards, to provide insurance for their employees, to do all of the things that American companies have to do. Now, just free trade, you're saying we'll just compete with slave labor in Southeast Asia, and all of our manufacturing jobs have gone overseas.
No, listen, right. we do pay our workers more than they do in other parts of the world, but they're more productive, they're harder working, and they're smarter. And the work they do guarantees that they should get a higher wage, and we can compete with those higher wages. But Glenn, if we overtax, over-mandate, and over-regulate our business in a global economy, we can't compete. And I think Wisconsin is a microcosm of what's happening nationally. We're seeing businesses leave Wisconsin and go to other states. And on a national level, we're seeing businesses go to other countries. If we're competitive and we have competitive environments, pro-growth policies in place, we can thrive, we can excel, and we can put our Wisconsin families back to work.
Dan Mielke?
You don't solve problems by spewing out a lot of words. You solve problems by doing action. And until we put our American people not just on a fair trade, but on an advantaged situation. We should be favoring American business and industry. We should not be trying to put them on this balanced situation with other nations. They are our family. They are our people. This is our country, and we should give them an edge. And our Congress should not be working for other nations. They should not be working for other countries trying to help them out. They should be working for the American people and helping them out.
Dan Milkey, are you in favor of tariffs?
No, I'm not in favor of tariffs. I'm in favor of equitable treatment with the American people. When you go ahead and you allow our businesses to compete, but you put restrictions, like you just mentioned, environmental restrictions, pay restrictions, health restrictions on them for their employees and things, and then you allow competitors come into this country and sell the same product that's not held to those situations, to me that's not fair, it's not equitable, and it's not honest. I'm saying there needs to be standards set so that if we're going to put these burdens on the American business, then they need to be on those who want to do business in America. If we're going to remove those burdens, then we need to remove those burdens on Americans as well as foreign countries. You cannot put us at a disadvantage and destroy this country like we're doing. And all the rhetoric and all the multiplicity of words is not going to solve the problem until we start doing something.
Dan Milkey and Sean Duffy. Sean, you got to hold it there. I've got to get a break in. We've only got a few minutes left on the show. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51. We'll be back after this. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're listening to a forum, heated forum, I might add, between Dan Milkey and Sean Duffy, the two candidates who are competing for the 7th Congressional District seat on the Republican ballot. Let's go back to the phones. We have Linda in Rib Mountain. Linda, you're on Route 51.
Hi.
Linda, you're on the radio.
Okay. I would like to make a comment to both candidates. I would like to see some of the nitpicking stop, because I think by doing a negative candidacy, all you're doing is giving the other candidate, Julia Lassa, more fuel for her fire. And I hope that after the primary, that whichever one of you wins and whichever one of you loses, that the one that loses will support the winner, so that hopefully we can have a good election in November and the Republicans can get the seat. With the negative campaigning going on, both for the governor and for your seat, a lot of people get so tired of listening to it that they just turn it off, and they don't really get anything out of any of the advertising that goes on.
Linda, thanks so much for the phone call. Dan Milkey, will you support Sean Duffy if he wins on Tuesday?
I think we need to understand something, that this is not a point like a baseball game where our team wins or their team loses. We're dealing with issues. We're dealing with people's lives. We're dealing with the economy.
You're not giving me an answer.
My answer to that is I will vote for the candidate that best represents what I believe in. At this point, it is not Sean Duffy.
And you're saying you would not endorse Sean Duffy if he wins.
Just because Sean is a Republican, at this point, unless he makes major changes in his philosophy and starts to act like a congressman that's not tied to Washington, he will not get my vote. Neither will Julia Lassa. I'll have to go somewhere else to vote, because I believe in the values that I stand for, and I believe that we should do that. When someone turns around and says, oh, yes, I'll support the candidate that I've been arguing with because I totally disbelieve everything he says, and they're going to vote for him anyway, I question their integrity.
Sean Duffy, would you support Dan Milkey if he wins on Tuesday?
Sorry, I had my microphone off there, Glenn. Absolutely. I would support Dan. I don't agree with everything he says. I don't necessarily agree with the way he's run his campaign. But you know what? I would endorse Dan, and I would support him, and I would encourage him, because Dan's views are a lot closer to mine than Julie Lassa's. And so I would endorse him, encourage him, and I'd cheer him on.
How do you react to the fact that Dan would not endorse you?
Well, that's his personal decision. I think that, you know, Dan gets to make that call. And for me, personal responsibility. I'm running a race that's consistent with my values. And, Dan is running one that's consistent with his. And, you know, if he wins, I would prefer to have Dan there than Julie. And so I'll support him.
We're running out of time, and I want to ask an environmental question. We've had record floods in Milwaukee. The surface water on Lake Superior this past summer was 70 degrees, much warmer than it's ever been in recorded history. An iceberg four times the size of Manhattan has broken off the Greenland ice sheet and is melting in the Atlantic. Wildfires in Russia, 30% of the Russian wheat crop destroyed by drought. Flooding in Pakistan that has 20% of that country underwater. Dust bowl conditions all across Australia. Overall world temperatures this year, the highest ever recorded, on the heels of 20 consecutive years of global temperatures way above normal. Every scientist I know at the University of Wisconsin system says this is global warming. It's man-made. It's man-induced. Do either of you believe in man-made global warming, and do you believe we need to take steps to address it?
Everybody has an impact on the environment. The question is the impact that man is putting on global warming, is that the impact that's causing the problems you're talking about? And I'd say no. The Kyoto Treaty, where we were trying to change the carbon dioxide levels, what they want to accomplish for the entire world, if accomplished, would be 0.002% of the total CO2, not enough to change that environment. So I don't believe that the global warming scare is something that we're going to change with the plans we have in place. I believe it's wrong. I believe it's just one more way to keep our mind on something else. I do agree that there are things happening. I tend to wonder sometimes maybe if God isn't sending us a message, we better shape up.
Sean Duffy, again, every scientist I've talked to at the University of Wisconsin System says global warming is a reality. It's happening. It's man-made. And we face terrible problems if it's not addressed. Your reaction to that?
Sadly, I think there's been a credibility deficit with scientists around the world in regard to this issue. And so that I come at it quite skeptically, I think is understandable. But as I believe we want to pass off a strong economy to our next generation, we have to pass off a strong environment and a healthy environment to the next generation. And I think that comes from personal responsibility. For me, Glenn, I drive a diesel. I get 45 miles to the gallon. I'm doing my part. But I don't think we want to tax our families through this cap and trade bill to the tune of $1,700 a year. We don't want to tax our businesses. We want to encourage positive behavior that reduces the carbon.
Okay, we got to leave it at that, guys. We're out of time. We want to thank today's guests, the two Republican candidates, Sean Duffy and Dan Mielke. They face each other in the September 14th primary. The winner of that contest takes on either State Senator Julie Lassa or businessman Don Riella. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, and also our on-air producer today. Thanks to John Munson for technical assistance in Superior. Thanks, as always, to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Don't forget to vote next Tuesday, September 14th. And thank you for riding along with us today. Until next week, we are heading out of town.